Hi, it's Melissa Moore, and welcome to Mile High Magazine. Appreciate you spending this part of your Sunday morning with us, and looking forward to this conversation today with Carmen Carter. She is the Executive Director of Gateway Domestic Violence Services. Good morning, Carmen.
Good morning.
Well, I appreciate you being here. I know this is always, sometimes a sensitive topic, but such an important one to have these open discussions about. So let's start with some of the basics, because I think a lot of people, when they think of domestic violence, think of the physical. But let's talk about what is domestic violence at its core, and then kind of the different types.
Sure. Yes, domestic violence really is when one person determines that they should have power and control over another individual, and they use that power and control to hurt that individual and to control everything that person can do in their life. That can show up through economic abuse by controlling the money so that a person can't make their own decisions about spending money. It can be very much emotional and psychological abuse, where people really, there's a lot of gaslighting, right? Where their individuals are hearing every day they're a horrible person and everything that happens is their fault, has a huge impact on their self-esteem, and often keeps them trapped in a situation because they feel like they aren't smart enough, strong enough to leave that relationship. And also, it can include sexual abuse and physical abuse. Those kind of abuses, I think, are what people think of the most often.
Right.
But they all have such negative impact on individuals who are experiencing it.
Well, because there's also more subtle, at times, emotional and even spiritual abuse. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
And what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think the subtle... A lot of domestic violence experiences are very subtle in that other people on the outside don't see what is happening, right? It typically happens behind closed doors. And, the spiritual piece of that, again, can be using people's faith, using spiritual passages that would cause one to believe that they need to be controlled mm-hmm. by another person, and
right.
to really limit their ability to think for themselves.
Well, and when we're talking about emotional domestic violence, give some examples of what that can look like in a relationship.
I think, it can be kind of all over the place. But for example, it can be attached to other kind of abuses, like I can't let you have a checkbook because you don't know how to manage money. You always waste money. Constant berating mm-hmm. on a daily basis about that person is not smart enough. That whatever negative thing happens, even when the abuser is doing things, it's that other person's fault.
Mm-hmm.
When they are physically abusing them, it's because you made me do this. If you wouldn't bother me, if you wouldn't do this, if you wouldn't do that. It's a constant berating, which is, so damaging to
right.
individuals.
I was going to say, isn't it really damaging to that person's self-esteem and that self-worth, where they start to feel like, wow, I can't do anything on my own. I'm not good enough. And it just kind of breaks that person down.
Absolutely. And which is what makes it really hard for people to leave, right? Because their sense of self has been so destroyed by this other person. And so the idea of them being able to go out on their own and live a very self-sufficient life doesn't even seem possible.
Right. They don't trust themselves. And I think that's a big piece of it. When people are like, well, why didn't so-and-so, why didn't you leave? And I think sometimes that the person being abused has a hard time trying to even put that into words, how they don't feel like they're able to.
Absolutely. Because they have been so torn down through their experiences, for sure. And often, after years of that kind of abuse, it what they hear every day is what runs in their mind.
Sure.
So that's what they believe, right, is true. All of those negative messages really is what they think about themselves now, too.
So then how does somebody go from feeling like that to finally saying, I'm ready to get out and I need help?
Well, on the average, they say it takes about 7 times for somebody trying to leave before they are successful. I think often if there are kids involved, it may be the fact that now the kids might be being threatened or at risk of being harmed, and mm-hmm. that may be that one step that they, as a mom or a dad, you say, gosh, I can't put my kids at risk.
Right.
It's one thing for me to be treated that way, but not going to let that happen to my kids, even though the kids have already been experiencing some levels of abuse being in that situation. But
absolutely. And 1 in 15 kids, if I read right, are exposed to intimate partner violence each year. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is a high number, but it's not as high as you when I read that 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men will experience intimate partner violence in their lifetime. Those numbers are staggering.
They are. When you think about the people you know and look around, you just know. It's a lot. It's a lot of people who have had that. And, you know, this is still an issue people don't feel comfortable sharing, right? Because there's a sense that they were weak or not strong enough, or it was, again, their fault. It's important, right, that we have these conversations and
right.
we make it okay to talk about. So
yeah.
I appreciate the chance to be with you and talk about this.
No, I think it's so important to let go of that stigma of you must be a weak person if you can't leave. You must not be intelligent if you got yourself into this situation. I mean, having these open conversations hopefully will dispel some of that.
Yes, that's my hope, too. It seems so important that we talk about it. And a lot of folks who call us or come to our shelter, often it's really difficult for them to say, I've experienced domestic violence. Like one of the first things we do in the shelter is start talking about what domestic violence is
mm-hmm.
and really how it shows up in these different ways and the cycles about that. Because for some people, it's like, you know, they may have just been hurt so much that they realize they had to get out. But they're still not sure that, you know, they can make it on their own or that they want to. You mm-hmm. know, I, you know, have had conversations with clients who look at me and say, but I love him or I love her. And that's so real. And their sense is, gosh, if I just do something better, this can be okay. And so the education part of the work we do with victims and survivors of domestic violence is just so important for them to begin to grasp, like, oh, this isn't the way life has to be.
So when somebody says that to you about, I love him or her, what do you say? What is your response?
Yeah, I mean, we can't disagree. That's real for them. I think the reaction is, but let's think a little bit about your safety, right? And about what, as much as you may love that person, you need to love yourself too.
Yeah.
And how do we start talking about this in a way that you can understand you deserve to not be treated that way.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. Tell me a little bit about Gateway Domestic Violence Services, because you are the only 24/7 shelter that serves the city of Aurora and Arapahoe counties. Tell me about your shelter.
Sure. So we have 2 residential programs. We have an emergency shelter located in Aurora, and folks stay there around 30 days. And then we also have an extended stay shelter located in Inglewood, and people can stay there around 90 days. So sometimes folks move from our emergency shelter to our extended stay shelter
mm-hmm.
When they just need a little more time to kind of get back on their feet. So folks, our staff are working with them from the day they come in to kind of, you know, often people leave in a hurry and don't necessarily even have all of their paperwork, may not have clothes, may not have, you know, so many things to just start, you know, kind of surviving in the world. And so, you know, our team works really closely with them to help identify what, how can we help them get the paperwork they need? How can we help them start thinking about a job, or can we help them apply for benefits? So it's very much like, let's start with the basics at the emergency shelter in hopes of giving people, you know, we talk about a lot about giving glimmers of hope, right? That things can be different.
And that, and that's a big part of what you do. And you serve a lot of people. Did I read correctly that you serve 2,000 people annually?
We do. We have two other programs in addition to our shelter programs. We have a counseling program where we offer individual and group counseling. And that happens in our office in Aurora. And then we also have a court advocacy program that's at the municipal court in Aurora as well. And so our, we have staff there who are talking to folks the morning after assaults often and helping them just, you know, identify what kind of emotional support and resources do they need to be able to start thinking about different choices for themselves and their families.
Right. So the work that you do starts immediately and then continues into the shelters.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. And then after as well. Often after shelters, people may continue with counseling or come back to us and do counseling down the road. Counseling is not easy when you're in the moment of crisis. So initially it's a lot of crisis intervention, but yeah, it's, we're definitely trying to provide support through the process for folks.
And speaking about crisis, you do have a crisis hotline. Tell me about that.
We do. It's available 24 hours a day, and we have it staffed all around the clock every day. So folks can call that. That number is 303-343-1851. And, you know, if folks are just wondering what, you know, what they can do next, that's a really good resource to call and talk to one of our staff and find out about their options. Even if we don't have capacity at that moment, we try to really connect, share resources where people can find other shelters as well.
Okay. And I know you're one of the few shelters that also accepts family pets, and sometimes that is a big consideration for men and women looking to get out of these situations.
Yeah, it's so important, right? People, a lot of times people stay because they're afraid their pets will not be taken care of, and so, or will be harmed even. So being able to bring pets is really important. And, you know, if there are kids around as well, the, you know, it can be very much a emotional support to have an animal there.
Absolutely.
Even if it's a bearded dragon, which we've had before.
Oh, gee. Yeah, that is different. So obviously you're doing a lot of work here in our community. I so appreciate what you're doing. And I know you've got needs too. What are the biggest needs that Gateway Domestic Violence Services has right now? How can we help?
Yes, thanks for asking. You know, Gateway always needs financial support. So before the end of the year, we are hoping to raise another $35,000 to help us continue to do our work. So please check out our website. But folks can also volunteer. We're gathering toys for the holidays to be able to give out to kids. So if, again, if anyone's interested in contributing in that way, we have groups and churches and companies who do drives for us. So it can be doing drives to collect hygiene products so that often when people arrive, just be able to give them a new bottle of shampoo and lotion and soap is really, you know, an important gift. And, you know, but also things, you know, we collect new things to be able to share with people when they move out of the shelter for their home. So it can be linens, it can be dishes or pans. So there's a lot of ways folks can get involved with us in addition to volunteering. So
wonderful.
Lots of choices.
Carmen, what is that website?
Please. It's www.gatewayshelter.org.
Gatewayshelter.org. All right. Carmen Carter, Executive Director of Gateway Domestic Violence Services. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you so much for the work you're doing and just for this open conversation. I sure appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It was great to chat with you.
So good talking to you. I'm Melissa Moore. Thank you for being here on this Sunday morning. It's Mile High Magazine. Go out, have a great Sunday, and remember, be kind to everyone. I'll see you back here next week.